WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden headed to New Orleans today to see where Shamsuddin Jabbar drove his car into a crowded Bourbon Street, killing 14 people early New Year's morning.
Investigators say Jabbar traveled to New Orleans twice in the months before the attack. He also traveled to Egypt and to Canada in 2023. Authorities now investigating whether those trips could be related to his radicalization.
That's ABC's Allison Kosick. This is January 6th, the four-year anniversary of the violent Capitol riot and the day that Congress will certify the results of the 2024 election. A blast of snow and ice making travel dangerous in some parts of the country. Blizzard conditions reported in parts of Kansas, Missouri, and Kentucky. The storm moving eastward toward Washington, D.C. today. At the Carter Center in Atlanta, an honor guard patrols where former President Jimmy Carter lies in repose. Tomorrow, the casket arrives in Washington. A state funeral will be held on Thursday. This is ABC News. A year after a door plug flew off a Boeing jet mid-flight, the company now says it has a new safety plan in place.
Boeing says it is reducing defects by increasing inspection points, introducing a customer quality approval process, and using employee feedback to address items in commercial airplane production. The company says it also invested in its Speak Up program. It allows employees to feel more comfortable raising concerns confidentially and know the status and resolution of their reports.
ABC's Jacqueline Lee. Canada may need a new prime minister soon. There are reports Justin Trudeau is seriously considering stepping down this week amid falling poll numbers. Ukraine over the weekend launching a new offensive inside Russia's Kursk region. Witnesses say they spotted several columns of Ukrainian tanks. And a record for a fish in Japan. A single tuna weighing at least 608 pounds puts it on par with a grizzly bear. The sale price, $1.3 million. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, WGBW.fm.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
On the next Nightlight, I am live from Madison and welcome singer-songwriter Katie Scullin into the studio. Then Matt Miller and I discuss award season and 2025 upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a few flurries. Windy as well, partly sunny, highs near 25, but those strong north winds will keep the single-digit wind chills around. For tonight, partly cloudy, low of 11, partly sunny, mid-20s for Tuesday, highs near 18 on Wednesday.
It's 24 right now.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview the inauguration of the Wisconsin State Senate and Wisconsin State Assembly and look forward to what's ahead in 2025. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Zone.
Good morning on this chilly Monday, January 6th. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report joining you. And although it is still cold out, it looks like it will be slightly warmer than what we have been seeing with highs topping out in the mid-20s. But we'll have more on that in just a few minutes with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. On tap for today, Dr. Laura Hernandez with the Dairy Innovation Hub is going to speak on her research looking at cow-calf pairs and how leaving the calves with the mama cows for just a little longer may have a great impact on the productivity. We are also going to take a look at the hay markets during these winter months as Stephanie Hoff is joined by Becky Brathel with the Division of Extension to see what you can expect during these cold times. But first on the docket, we are going to hear from Steve Bow with Farm to Power to see how they are helping farmers better understand renewable energy and to help them navigate the budding technology when it comes to their farms. Make sure to stick around.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
About 60 or 70 years ago, barns in Wisconsin and across the country lit up as rural electrification came about, changing the way chores were done not only in our barns, but all over our farms. I'm Bob Osel from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. Well, now we are seeing more and more of our barns and rural areas using newer technologies to power the lights, milk equipment, to get the chores done. But with these new technologies come some legal issues farmers need to deal with. That's where a new organization called Farm to Power gets involved with solar and wind power issues. Steve Bow from the Blair Taylor area has been around Wisconsin agriculture all his life on the farm as a state FFA officer and ag ed instructor, as well as spending time working with ag issues in the state legislature. And he heads this new organization.
So Farm to Power is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that works to reach out to farmers and find support and those that are interested in renewable energies. And we work to create that network of support for farmers who have that interest in incorporating renewable energies, wind and solar, on their property.
So how are you going about doing this? Are you looking for companies that want to get involved? Are you looking for farmers who are looking for alternative energy? What's it all about?
So our main focus is not only creating that network of support, but when farmers are approached, we work with them to make sure that, you know, they have a positive experience when it comes to renewable energies. Because a farmer that has a positive experience is one that has a good story to tell and that can help make a difference. You know, we work to make sure that farmers' short-term and long-term goals are met. We try to connect them with other farmers who have gone through a process of putting renewables on their land so that they can talk to somebody who can give them advice about what they did right and maybe what one things that they would change if they could do it again.
As you look at wind and solar, for the farmers that have put these on already, the ones that say, maybe we do something different, what are some of the things you hear that maybe they would do differently?
Well, a lot of things that we hear is that things that they didn't necessarily consider about making sure that they have the easements written in their contracts. Some of them have wished that they would have included language to include some funding for rural fire and EMS so that they could have training, whether it's regards to the wind or the solar, and so that local fire and EMS would have access to equipment or training that they would need if an issue arose with these projects.
Now, who works with you? You're the man in charge, but again, anytime you deal with contracts, you're looking at lawyers, you're going to need professional people that know how to read these things. Who works with you? Do you have a network of people like that?
So we really work to try to connect farmers with the correct resource. Our mission within Farm to Power is to not only help farmers connect them to those resources, but then tell the story of farmers and renewable energy. So it's kind of a two-front focus that we've got within Farm to Power.
How much background have you done to make sure that these companies that come in and want to put a solar panel or acres and acres of solar panels are reputable? Because we hear so much that, we don't really know where that money's coming from. We don't know who this company really is. How much background do you do?
So we don't work with developers. Our main focus is on the farmer side. We want to give them all the resources and tools that they need to make the decision that is best for their family and their farm. Because going back to that, if a farmer has a positive experience where, you know, a lot of the farmers are looking at possibly including renewable energy as a way to diversify their farm income. But with that said, we want to make sure that it's a positive experience that they can be able to tell other farmers.
And it's not a one-size-fits-all deal. If you want to put in solar panels, there's a difference because you've got challenges of something goes wrong. What about the batteries? You know, where are you going to store them? Where are you going to put them?
Well, and that's why we really try to advocate with our farmers that they get a lawyer that they can trust and that can give them the right advice to make sure that their contract fits their needs. Maybe it's that they're interested in agrivoltaics, having some grazing or honeybees or whatever it is that they are including in that renewable to make sure that, you know, what they want to do with that land beyond the solar is what is available.
How do you reach out to farmers? Do farmers reach out to you as far as, I want to put solar, I want to put wind. Can you take them in the right direction? Obviously, if you're up on a hill, that's probably better for wind.
Yep. So our goal is once a farmer has been approached about a project, that's when we try to connect them with the resources for them to make the best decisions available. If they are looking for additional information, they can obviously go to farmtopower.org, and then all of our contact information is on there.
As you look at it, for how long has your organization been in place?
So we received a grant, and our organization has actually just started here this year. So I left Melrose Mindoro in June, still had the FFA advisor there to help them out, but it started full-time in June for Farm to Power.
So what have you seen so far as demand? More for solar, more for wind, and is that demand among farmers to, as you said earlier, create another revenue stream shown one way or the other?
Well, it's really been diversified. There are areas that are more conducive to wind, and then there are those that are interested in solar because maybe they want to kind of double crop it. They're creating the energy off from the sun, but they're looking at grazing either some sheep, goats. There are others that are interested in possibly cattle, but there are some things that we've got to figure out as far as the height of the panels.
I was going to say, how many farmers do you deal with that say, boy, I didn't realize that, or you tell them things that they didn't think about?
Yeah, there's a number of farmers who have been really interested if we can figure out a way to raise those panels high enough that cattle could be grazed out there. That's one thing that's still being studied and researched on, and I think if that happens, we are looking at a new era in regards to solar.
How much feedback do you get from people say, you know, you put those out there, and that's just land out of production here?
Potentially, but there's also ways to put that land back into production. And that's where, you know, if we look at agrivoltaics, there's real potential in there of being able to, in essence, double crop it.
As you go forward now into the new year, 2025, how do folks reach you and how much staff do you have? Are you looking to grow staff for the information farmers are seeking?
Sure. So I'm the state director here in Wisconsin, and I have two field organizers that work throughout the state collecting stories and meeting with farmers. And then we are in multiple states kind of here in the Midwest, and we also have an organization out in Arizona and New Mexico.
As you work with farmers, is there like a worksheet you have that you can give them, say, now here, these are the major things to be aware of if you want to put solar or if you want to put wind up? Do you have some of those guidance pamphlets or folders?
So we do have brochures that we take to various events. Like we are here at the Farmers Union Convention. We'll be at Corn Soy later on this year. We'll be at other various agriculture events. So we do have brochures and materials there. They can also go to our website and reach out to us if there's anything specific that we can offer them.
So how do they get a hold of that website?
It is farmtopower.org.
And this organization is under a grant.
Yep, under grants that we renew on an annual basis. And then, like I said, we're a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization. They could also reach out to us social media. We're on Instagram and Facebook.
How much, you say, nonpartisan, so how much do we have to be worried, from your point of view, your organization, about state laws, local regulations, township, county, whatever?
So we don't do anything in regards to legislation or laws or lobbying.
But that's part of the picture when you're going to put these things in.
It's part of it. We just, the way that our organization is set up, we're not involved in that. Where we do get involved is making sure that our farmers have the knowledge, the resources, and the connections to be able to make good, wise decisions for their family and farm.
And from the time they contact you to maybe getting back to them and talk about what they think they might want to do, how much of a turnaround can you give them? Because like you said, you don't have a lot of staff.
No, but we are very efficient with our staff. And so we can generally have a very quick turnaround from once we have that initial outreach to when we can get back to you.
All right. It's called Farm to Power. If you're looking at maybe solar or wind generation on your farm for alternative energy and alternative income source, Farm to Power is the organization. Steve Bowe is in charge. And again, Steve, how do we get a hold of Farm to Power to get more information on this renewable energy?
You bet. You can reach out to our website, farmtopower.org, and then look for Wisconsin, or you can reach out to Farm to Power Wisconsin on our social media of Facebook and Instagram.
All right, alternative ways to power the energy on your barn. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire with Steve Bowe from Farm to Power Wisconsin, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report. From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW. Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, it's Monday, so our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, will join us. Plus, it's January 6th. The counting and certification of the electoral vote is scheduled to take place. Tune in, we'll be wild.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This morning, up in the northern parts of Door County, Kewaunee County, even Manitowoc, seeing a few flurries. And there is a winter weather advisory for Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha counties until 4 p.m. today, because I would expect a little snow flurry lake effect activity develops there as well. So along the lake shore, we're going to be in for what could be just a little bit of snow. Oh, we're not going to talk about inches or feet or anything like that. You know, a lake effect snow shower could be an inch or two, not far away from the lake. Further out to the west, you get just a few flurries, but some snow chance exists in the east. For all the rest of us in Wisconsin, it's colder air still wrapping in around that strong low. The low pressure system, the one that's providing the storminess for the east coast, is in Kentucky and Tennessee. It will move almost due east today and not have a real big push into Wisconsin, but it's the strong air circulation, the wind circling around that low in a counterclockwise fashion that's resulting in some of the lake effect along the eastern edge of Wisconsin this morning, but that's going to start to taper off somewhat. I do expect further west there'll be sunshine and still some colder air. Temperatures in the weekend, some of the coldest we've seen for quite a while. We start to moderate a little bit this week, but nothing too spectacular. Oh, maybe some mid-20s in the south, maybe an upper 20 by next weekend in the south. That's pushing back toward normal for this time of the year. Otherwise, still a bit cooler, and I really have to say, dry. Oh, there may be some flurries this morning, way up in far northwest Wisconsin as well. A little lake effect generation off Superior. Don't expect a great deal, but that possibility also existing. Otherwise, the cold air is still the name of the game. Bundle up, be prepared. The outdoor chore is going to take a little extra because we've got to try and keep ourselves warm. And then we have to think about animal ventilation, freezing pipes, and things like that. At least we don't have a big snow cleanup in the middle of all of this. I guess that's an all right situation. But the cold air is still sticking around this week and only gradually beginning to moderate. So no big fix coming up, no big warm up, you know, that January thaw. I don't see that. It may feel a bit more mild finally by the weekend. Call that a thaw if you want. I wouldn't say it's a big change in the climate, just moving away from what has been a cold spell. Ever since back in the very end of December, these colder than normal temperatures have lingered, and they'll stick around yet through a good part of this week. So the colder temperatures, that's the big news on a Monday. And being prepped for that, dressing accordingly, taking care of our livestock and equipment as well, making sure everything's functioning and not having a problem during this cold spell. And at least there's not the snow that we may have to work with. I suppose that can be considered a big advantage for us. If you've been hearing out toward the Washington, D.C. metro and that East Coast area, they're talking what could be some 4 to 6 inch amounts of snow, six and more in some areas, especially Washington and right along into that shoreline area, right along the Atlantic shoreline. There's some very heavy snow there this morning into the Virginias, some rain, freezing rain. So there is all kinds of activity out to the east. That snow spreading back into central and southern Illinois and Indiana as well. But nothing but a little lake effect in Wisconsin. That's all we're faced with today. I hope we can all get through with that and just keep bundled up for a cold spell. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Hunting is a long-standing tradition in Wisconsin, and Dodge County farmer Bill Hemling saw an opportunity to engage with this heritage while also keeping the sixth-generation family farm in business. Bill says agricultural tourism and raising game birds has brought value to Hemling Lakeview Farms in Beaver Dam.
We're a relatively small acreage, and we needed to get a niche market in order to survive as a farm. So we decided to go into game birds. It really took off more than we had anticipated, and right now we're doing about 50,000 birds a year, half pheasants, half chuckers. We do have a small hunt club here. We started 2 years ago, just kind of slowly moving into it. The hunt club is more or less a sideline now to our wholesale bird business.
Learn more about Wisconsin's outdoor recreation offerings at gowiagtourism.com.
Well, Stu, the cold's been kind of the story here recently. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Well, absolutely, Ben. Let's talk about our Compeer Financial Ag weather forecast. And it is for more sun to the west today. A few more clouds in the far northwest and along the lakeshore. Keep in mind that winter weather advisory, Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha until 4 p.m. Lake effect snow from Lake Michigan in that southeast part of the state. And otherwise today, I really expect that our temps start pushing into the very upper teens in far northwest Wisconsin. Low 20s, maybe a mid-20 in the south today with those north winds 5 to 15, still gusting to 25. Now in the nighttime, we do have a little clearing, more partly cloudy skies, and there will be single digits in the northwest, lower double digits to the southeast with the north winds about 5. Partly sunny skies come Tuesday. And it doesn't sound too bad. Upper teens to low 20s. The low 20s in the south and southeast. The northwest winds 5 to 10. Still cool on Wednesday. Partly sunny skies. A lot of teens almost everywhere. Low teens north, upper teens south. The northwest winds only about 5. And then, Ben, the good news is, I think, looking toward Thursday and Friday, we start seeing those temperatures pushing up. And could very well be talking about normal temperatures when we get back to the weekend. Those are upper 20s for daytime highs. I think that should make it seem a whole lot better as we head on toward at least the weekend and early next week. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, this cold's been no joke. I accidentally left a case of energy drinks in the back of my car, and they exploded. But
uh-oh, well, car cleanup.
Well, thank you, Stu. That's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot!
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden headed to New Orleans today to see where Shamsuddin Jabbar drove his car into a crowded Bourbon Street, killing 14 people early New Year's morning.
Investigators say Jabbar traveled to New Orleans twice in the months before the attack. He also traveled to Egypt and to Canada in 2023. Authorities now investigating whether those trips could be related to his radicalization.
That's ABC's Allison Kosick. This is January 6th, the four-year anniversary of the violent Capitol riot and the day that Congress will certify the results of the 2024 election. A blast of snow and ice making travel dangerous in some parts of the country. Blizzard conditions reported in parts of Kansas, Missouri, and Kentucky. The storm moving eastward toward Washington, D.C. today. At the Carter Center in Atlanta, an honor guard patrols where former President Jimmy Carter lies in repose. Tomorrow, the casket arrives in Washington. A state funeral will be held on Thursday. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwaba. To some people, life is just downtime between superhero movies. Ultra fans of Spider-Man are experiencing that downtime and probably trying to decipher rumors regarding their favorite web-spinning superhero. Andrew Garfield addressed his potential involvement in Spider-Man 4, which is currently in the works. Tom Holland has signed on to the project, but other than that, little else is known.
Garfield disappointed his fans and put the kibosh on his potential appearance, telling GQ the only thing that might bring him back one day would be if he had five kids and needed to pay for tuition. Two words for you, Andrew: community college. Jeremy Allen White is getting high praise for his portrayal of Bruce Springsteen by none other than Bruce Springsteen. The Bear actor plays the boss in the upcoming Bruce-based biopic, Deliver Me From Nowhere. In a recent interview on SiriusXM, Springsteen said not only does he think White is a good actor, but praised his singing as well. Deliver Me From Nowhere will be released sometime in 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks are in Toronto. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Toronto tonight to take on the Raptors. Milwaukee looking to get out of a rut. They've lost four of the last five games. Doc Rivers asked if his message is getting through to his players.
I think you guys think we don't say anything or something. You know, what you think, we're watching film and just it's quiet time? No, I mean, I'm being serious. Like, do you think we're not saying stuff? Like, we say stuff every day. What's not happening is we're getting off the bad starts. We're not moving the ball. We're not playing right. We got to play right. We've done that. We got to get back to doing it.
NFL, for the first time in 6 years, the Bears beat the Packers. It came on a last-second field goal. The final, Chicago 24, Green Bay 22. Next, the Packers play the Eagles in Philly, Sunday at 3:30 in the playoffs.
We don't hang our heads about this. We just use it to learn, use it to go forward. You know, it is just disappointing because, you know, we should have won that game.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday, Mino and the Mayor, we'll talk to Brittany Merlot about these freezing temperatures.
And we'll talk a little Packer football heading into the playoffs. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a few flurries, windy as well, partly sunny, highs near 25, but those strong north winds will keep the single-digit wind chills around. For tonight, partly cloudy, low of 11, partly sunny, mid-20s for Tuesday, highs near 18 on Wednesday.
It's 24 right now.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2022, Michigan voters passed a constitutional amendment enshrining voting protections and expanding ballot access. After the legislature implemented the voters' directive, GOP legislators sued, claiming that only the legislature could make such changes. Proposition 2 mandated 9 days of early voting, protections for voters and election workers from harassment, and a tracking system for absentee ballots. It allowed for the funding of secure drop boxes and the counting of military and overseas ballots if postmarked by Election Day, and several other reforms. Conjuring the independent state legislature theory, which argues that the U.S. Constitution allows only legislatures to control election law, 11 Michigan GOP legislators sued. On December 20th, the Federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's denial of the Michigan legislators' claim. But importantly, it did so saying that while the individual legislators had no standing to bring the case, a full legislature could, leaving the door open a crack. The U.S. Supreme Court mostly dismissed the theory in 2023's Moore v. Harper case, but Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito appear to be all in on the theory. For the moment, the pro-voter reforms in Michigan are safe, but be watching for the independent state legislature theory to pop up again soon. We have the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin.
for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
For things to go dramatically wrong.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report here with you on this Monday. And recently, there's been some very interesting research going on looking at the mental health of kids that grow up on farms versus their urban counterparts. I'm joined by Scott Heiberger, the communications manager for the National Farm Medicine Center, and he says that the kids that grow up on farms tend to have a better mental health outlook as opposed to those who do not have that opportunity. And Heiberger's here to explain why that might be.
Our study used the electronic health records of Marshall Clinic Health System. And the question we're asking is, looking at children and adolescents who grow up on farms, how does their medically presented suicidality compare with suicidality in non-farm kids, both rural non-farm kids and non-farm kids who live in town? And just to define this, suicidality, it's the risk of suicide that can be indicated by suicidal thoughts, plans, or attempts. And so what's helpful then, if this is diagnosed and discovered, then it helps intervene with young people who might be having those tendencies, and hopefully you can intervene before anything more serious happens. And you know, this idea that the non-farm kids had less of a likelihood to present with suicidality is a little bit surprising, given that previous research has shown that there are higher rates of rural suicide. Maybe partially driven by farm-related factors, you know, economic downturns, firearm ownership, as well as data showing that farmers have higher suicide rates compared to other occupations. And so the idea that farm kids are less likely to present with this medically attended suicidality is a little surprising. And, you know, we can only kind of speculate that the reasons why farms might offer protection against this is a little bit speculative, but I think we have to look at things like green space. You know, farm kids grow up with green space. We know that green space is beneficial to us emotionally.
Heiberger says that currently they have not done research to see how that might change throughout the lifetime of a kid that grows up to gain more responsibilities on the farm, but that might be something they look at in the future. Now let's take a look at the markets for this morning. It looks like they're going to be kind to us as we open up this Monday, with cash crop corn up 4 at 454 and 3 quarters and new crop corn up 4 and a quarter at 445. January soybeans are up 9 and a quarter at 990 and a quarter. November soybeans are up 9 at 1017 and a quarter. March wheat is up 5 and a quarter at 534 and a half. And July wheat is up 5 at 554 and a quarter. Milk is following the same trend, but to a lesser degree, as January is up a penny at 2046 a hundredweight, and February is up 4 cents at 2061 a hundredweight. As we take a look at cheese, barrels closed out Friday up a half at 183, and 40-pound blocks closed up 3/4 at 192. And butter closed up 3/4 as well, sitting at 255 and a quarter. If you're looking to get out there on the water or ice, I guess I should say, today, make sure you first check the ice thickness. You can check that at the local bait shops to see if it is thick enough for you to get out there. And if you do find a place where it is, I would suggest looking in the drop-offs and deep areas, because those fish are going to be pushed pretty deep there with these cold temperatures. And I'd use a spoon, maybe a jig, just try to work them, get them up and biting, because they're going to be pretty slow with these colder temperatures. But if you do make it out there, good luck, and I hope you can get some Golden Krispies out of it. We'll be back right after this to catch up with Stephanie Hoff to hear about the hay markets this winter. Make sure to stick around.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW, Matinair on Air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matinair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him. And I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll recap the weekend's news, and we bring back Beyond the Cheese. Wisconsin knitwear is featured. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
It's good dirt.
Welcome back, everybody. Now let's take a listen in on what we can expect from the hay markets through these winter months. Stephanie, take it away.
Just like the weather this year, alfalfa production varied around Wisconsin. And we're at the time of year now where if you didn't have enough hay for the winter, you're looking to find some. Becky Brathel is a regional crops and soils educator for Pierce, St. Croix, and Barron counties. She also authors the Division of Extension Hay Report every few weeks, compiling information from hay auctions across the Midwest. She walks us through not just the price trends today, but what's even available to producers?
Well, and so we had kind of an interesting year. Like the last 2 years, we've had some droughts, and so that's been hard to get hay to grow back or to grow. And then this year, with all the rains this spring, most people were able to get first and second crop off. But if you were in those places with the high droughts for the second half of the year, your inventory, you probably started to have to feed some hay. And so in the places where there were droughts in our state, the supply is not as high as people who got timely rains during the growing season.
You know, for those areas, where do we see a lot of quality hay coming from? For areas that did produce well, where do we see quality hay moving to?
So people who have a lot of excess, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that don't know the quality of their hay. So I think I just want to mention that it's really important to get your hay tested, because then you can get a pretty, you know, if you know the quality of your hay, you can get a better price for it. And so a lot of people I've chatted with, they haven't been testing their hay this year. And so people haven't been probably getting the price that they want. And so the people on the eastern part of the state where they got a little bit more rain. They are shipping it towards this western part in the southwest.
We are a dairy state, and dairy cattle need quality forage. Is that primarily what Wisconsin's hay market focuses on, or are we also seeing a lot of beef hay moving around?
With the rain that we did get, you know, our hay grew really fast, and so the quality wasn't as good as we wanted it to. So there is quite a bit of beef hay, and so the folks who are looking for prime alfalfa hay for our dairy cattle, make sure that gets tested so you know the quality.
Walk us through the numbers, Becky. What are we looking at in terms of price, and where does that stand in the grand scheme of things if we're looking at the price trends?
The hay report that Extension does, that is all by ton. And so that's how I'm going to report it out. And so small square bales for alfalfa prime, so that means your relative feed value or your relative forage quality is over 151. So you're averaging over the last month or so about $8.64 per small square bale. That's about 50 pounds. The large squares for the last month have been about 173 per ton, and the large rounds have been about 108.5 per ton. And that's for alfalfa, that high quality for our dairy cows. And so our grass prices, so small square bales for grass, has been about $5.40 per 50-pound bale. And then the large squares about $137 per ton, and our large rounds are about $105.75 per ton, which is pretty average for this time of year, I would say.
These prices are, I guess, no surprises?
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. For like the weird years that we've been having. So it seems like multiple years of not normal growing seasons.
The next thing I want to talk about, Extension resources. So helping producers find quality hay, or maybe a quality buyer to get hay, you guys have a slew of resources.
On our Extension website, there's a crops and soils part of that. And if you search for Hay Exchange, that will come up as a place to buy and sell hay. If you are in need or looking for some or trying to get rid of some, that's a good place to put it. All the numbers that I've been talking about, you every 2 weeks get posted on a hay report. So if you just Google UW Extension Hay Report, that should be the first thing that pops up. There is so many amazing resources. So if you're wondering about extending your growing season or how to plant more hay or reinvigorate your pastures and your hay fields, our Extension Crops and Soils website is a great place to visit and get all kinds of information.
Becky Brathel along with us. She's the regional crops and soils educator for Pierce, St. Croix, and Barron counties with the Division of Extension. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thank you, Stephanie. Wisconsin is known as America's Dairyland, and this is partly because of the tremendous research that takes place here for the dairy industry. I am Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and some of the new research being done is looking at cow-calf pairs and how leaving them together longer affects growth.
So we have been working with Sarah Adcock, another professor in animal and dairy sciences. She's a welfare scientist, looking at two things. One is the impact of supplementing a serotonin precursor on pain for alleviation of calving. And the second part is working on adapting a new system to kind of have a step-down weaning process so we could potentially keep cow-calf pairs together a little better in the system that we have in the U.S.
So when you're doing this research, what exactly are you looking at? What are the key things that you're looking for through it?
We, in terms of the cow-calf information, we're measuring a lot of behaviors. So we have cameras to assess how the cows and the calves are interacting together. And we also are looking at measures of pain and health markers in both the cows and the calves. We're hoping to determine if we can keep the cows and calves together a little bit longer. We would know whether there were any infection transmission between mom and baby. So if potentially the calf is causing some mastitis as a result of the suckling. We're also looking to see how the calves grow during that period and how they behave. And we're also looking to see how it impacts the cow's long-term production in the herd. And we're hoping that as a result of this, we could get some funding potentially from the USDA to compare this to a conventional system so that we can give farmers information on if we adapt a situation like this, would it work for them and how they could incorporate it in their practices that they have now.
And currently you're pretty early in this research process, aren't you?
We are. So we are right now about halfway through our studies. So we adapted our dairy cattle center in a way that we could measure this. So we're using our teaching arena, and we've set it up where we have four different pens for the cow-calf pair, and then we have a center pen where the calves go when they're not with their moms, and they can all interact together. So we're about 50% through data collection. What I can tell you right now so far is that we're not really seeing an instance an increase in mastitis in the mom, which is awesome. But we're also seeing that when the calves leave our facility and go to the main farm, they're at a much higher weight than they are in calves at a comparable age up at the farm, the conventional farm. And the way we're doing this right now, the system we're implementing is we have a week where the cow and the calf is together 24 hours a day, and we're still milking the cows twice a day so we can get their milk weights and weighing the calves to try to get an assessment of how much milk the calves are drinking. And then the next 2 weeks, we have the calves with the mom for 12 hours in the evening and overnight. And then the other 12 hours during the day, they're in the center pen. And we're working to also give them some grain and bucket break them so they'll be able to feed once they're no longer with mom. And then the final week, they're still in the center pen, but they're not taking any milk from mom. They're just weaned essentially, but they're still able to see their mom. And then after 28 days, they're taken up to our main facility up at Arlington. So far, the interaction between mom and baby is good. We aren't seeing any real issues that the farm staff at Arlington is telling us in terms of the calves when they're weaned and they go up to Arlington and are in our hutch systems. And so we're really excited so far that things seem to be going well. We're currently doing an assessment of all the videos that we have to look at the behaviors, and we're going to be beginning to run some of our immune markers, our pain measurements, and our endocrine hormones that are indicative of lactation in the cows as well. And we'll be measuring some immune markers in the calves. So that we can determine how they're behaving physiologically as well as from a behavioral perspective.
Hernandez says that at the end of this trial, they hope to be able to get a USDA grant to further this research and broaden the horizons to figure out what the best timing and weaning time is for these cattle. While we do love making sure that we have enough cheese with the increased milk production that is hopeful out of that trial, let's take a look at another sweet treat that we love here in Wisconsin, honey. Mary Kettlewell with the Wisconsin Honey Show is here to tell us about the different types of honey that they judge and how they go about judging them.
We have categories, obviously, just like you would any other commodity show. We look at light honey, amber honey, dark honey. We also have a category for basswood because that's unique to the upper Midwest. And we have wax entries as well, solid wax blocks, candles, things of that nature. And we have specialty honeys. if you will. We have natural comb honey as it comes from the hive, and we also have a product called creamed honey. Creamed honey is simply honey that's been granulated. The crystals are ground very finely, and then it's slowly mixed and incorporated with liquid honey to become spreadable, almost like a peanut butter consistency, but it's all still pure honey.
What are you looking for specifically, like, in the product?
So when you get into a liquid honey, what we're looking for primarily is clarity and cleanliness. We all know naturally that honey contains some pollen, it contains wax particles. It's very difficult to get a lot of those out, but we're looking for our entrance to bring us the clearest, cleanest product they can. So we're making sure that there are no impurities.
Cuttowell also says that the honey has a change in color and taste based off of where the pollen is collected. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and thank you for joining along with me this morning. And I hope you have a happy, safe, warm, and healthy Monday.
This is the Midwest.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Some welcome news about food prices today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
When I was a kid growing up on the farm long, long ago, I never gave a thought to the potential risks involved in some of the work I was doing. Looking back, it's a miracle I survived. If your children are doing farm work, make sure they know how to do that work safely. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says you paid about 1.2% more for groceries in 2024 than you did in 2023, but the price inflation was less than the year before. USDA economist Megan Schweitzer says the inflation slowdown is expected to continue.
In 2025, prices for food at home are predicted to increase by 0.8%. For most categories in 2025, we're predicting price growth to be pretty similar to 2024 and below long-term averages for most categories.
Schweitzer says this is far better than conditions in recent years prior.
We had inflationary pressures from supply chain issues coming out of the pandemic. We had shocks due to the war in Ukraine, energy prices rising. We had an avian influenza outbreak that really drove up egg and poultry prices in 2022. And throughout 2023 and 2024, we really saw an easing of a lot of those inflationary pressures.
And, says Schweitzer, there's a slight possibility that food prices could actually be lower this year than they were last year. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I am live from Madison and welcome singer-songwriter Katie Scullin into the studio. Then Matt Miller and I discuss award season and 2025 upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm enjoyment. Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A massive snowstorm moving eastward, putting 60 million Americans under some sort of winter weather advisory. Washington, D.C. could get up to a foot of snow. And elsewhere, says ABC's Allison Kosick.
Treacherous road conditions across several states, including Missouri, Nebraska, and Indiana. Officials urging people to avoid travel. In Kentucky, downtown Louisville, a winter wonderland with several inches already on the ground. A state trooper being treated for non-life-threatening injuries after his patrol car was hit on the highway.
The snow not expected to impede certification of the election results at the Capitol on this, the fourth anniversary of the violence that came after Donald Trump refused to accept the results of the 2020 election. President Biden is headed to New Orleans this morning, site of the deadly New Year's Day truck ramming. The president also signing an executive order banning oil drilling in more than 600 million acres of U.S. oceans. This is ABC News.